Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Moment you've been waiting for.
And welcome to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Bit of an extended intro here because we've got the A-team in the house.
That is correct.
I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Hard to believe that May is just around the corner. Seemed like only yesterday we got it started during the school year. But joining me right back is, I guess we could call him the Iron Man now because he's probably been here the most this year. Keith Hansey, welcome back, my friend.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Keith, how was your week?
Busy week, so it's good to be here.
Good to be here, huh?
Yeah.
Well, did you have, I bet you and I had fun also at the draft also.
Yes. Getting to watch the draft and see what the Packers could do.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to talk a lot more about that. Also, what we're going to chat about today, Jaden Reed got extended. That's one thing that gets lost a little bit.
I was a little surprised by that.
You save your thoughts for that. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. Alex Stroh from ESPN Wisconsin is going to be joining us. We are going to chat about the Milwaukee Bucks hiring Taylor Jenkins as their new head coach. We're also going to go over the NCAA tournament expansion, why we both think it's probably not the best move for the NCAA at this point. And the Brewers, they've had a bit of a streaky April, to say the least. We'll see what they need to get corrected here, so we'll get a little bit into that. But first, let's recap that draft, shall we, Keith?
We shall.
All right, here we go. So I don't know necessarily the word slim pickings is the correct term to use with this, because the Packers had 8 picks in this year's draft. They only came away with 6 players. They did make a couple of trades. They traded up as well to take a defensive tackle. Let's go over their draft class really quickly here, shall we, Mr. Keith Hansey? I'm just going to run off our names here really quickly. So the new Packers drafted by Green Bay are Brandon Cisse out of South Carolina at number 52. He's a corner. Defensive tackle Chris McClellan, drafted number 77 out of Missouri. And on number 120, edge rusher Danny Dennis Sutton out of Penn State. 153, offensive lineman Jager Burton out of Kentucky. And 2 picks in the 6th round instead. Cornerback Domani Jackson out of Alabama, 201. And kicker Trey Smack of Florida at 216. So, Mr. Hansey.
Yes.
Which of those 6 picks did you like the most?
I like the Brandon Cisse.
Okay.
Is it?
I believe Cisse.
Cisse?
Yes.
Obviously, probably the last of the top-tier cornerbacks that are out there, really young, not even 21 years old yet.
That's really insane.
20 years
to think
old.
About
so I think the Packers saw him, what he's done in 2 years at the college level. They can work with him.
Yes.
Mold him how they want, but you know, I was kind of hoping, and they still can bring in an older cornerback to maybe mentor him, help him out. But I mean, obviously, he was the best player at that level in this draft to take at number 52.
You know, the interesting thing with Cisse is that he is a smart corner, but he is an edge corner. And that is one thing that Matt Tyler alluded to. You're not looking for a slot corner here because Keyshawn Nixon is more of a slot corner. Carrington Valentine's more of a slot corner. So you need to go out and get a guy that can cover, that can essentially operate one side of the field, that can try and shut that down. So Cisse, he was the best corner available at that point in time. I've got no problem with the pick. The guy that I really like, though, is Danny Denton Sutton out of Penn State. He's the edge rusher that Green Bay ended up taking, and he learned a lot. There were a couple of first-round picks that he got the chance to learn from. That's Chop Robinson and Abdul Carter, both of whom were at that first-round pick. And even though he didn't have the cachet that those two did, he was still productive. He was still productive. 55 games in 4 years at Penn State. He had three blocked punts as well, which, again, that does not happen very often at the college level or at any level in football outside of maybe high school, and we've seen that a little bit. And again, with Rashawn Gary, Kingsley Anagbari both out, Lucas Van Ness is a big question mark. We don't know whether Micah Parsons is going to be back from his ACL injury. Right. But I think that this was the best move for Green Bay because he was a second-round talent that fell to him in the fourth round.
Yes, absolutely. Everybody was picking him to go in the second round.
Yes, they were.
I applaud the Packers for keeping an eye on him
and
getting him when he was available at 120.
Yeah.
I mean, and I hope he's another gem that just blossoms here in Green Bay.
And that's the thing with Green Bay. They always take these late round picks and they develop
and them.
And they make them into quality starters.
Yes.
So now let's go over to the other side, Keith. Which pick confused you the most?
Actually, none of the picks really confused me. I was kind of shocked that they traded up to get Trace Mack, kicker. I like it. Brandon McManus needs, I think, somebody to push him. And I think Trace Mack, with that strong leg, I mean, how many? He was 10 of 13 for 50 yards or more in college.
Yeah.
Imagine what the training he'd get in Green Bay if he could be consistent. And that's what we need, is a consistent kicker. But I was still kind of surprised that they moved up to get that.
That was a little bit surprising. Here's the thing with Smack. This is the fourth kicker, by the way, that the Packers have drafted in the last 35 years. It's been a while. Yeah. Green Bay doesn't draft kickers often. They drafted Anders Carlson a few years ago, and it didn't work out. They drafted Mason Crosby, who's Green Bay's all-time leading scorer. The other kicker they drafted was Brett Conway back in 1997. He was a contender with Ryan Longwell, if you remember, at that time. So really quickly on Trace Mack, you mentioned the 50 yards. He hit 53 out of 64 kicks at Florida. So it's not like that he struggled with his accuracy by any stretch of the imagination. He made consistently 80% of his field goals during each of his three seasons as the Gator kicker, which you want to see. Yeah, you absolutely want to see.
Consistency, especially in the kicking.
Yep, he made 17 of his last 18 kicks the rest of his senior year after struggling in the opener. So, again, the Trace Mack pick did surprise me a little bit, Keith. But you needed to have competition after the year Brandon McManus had.
I think you needed
to bring somebody in. I wasn't sure if they were going to go in the draft or not with it, but the fact that you were able to take a chance on somebody and compete with a proven guy like McManus, who, by the way, is on the hook for $5 million this upcoming season, this is a much cheaper option for Green Bay. And, by the way, Lucas Haversick is still on the practice squad. It could very well be a three-way battle for kicker in training camp this year.
It definitely could. And you look, like, some of these stats, we don't know. Like, he made 10 of 13 from more than 50.
Yeah.
But we don't know, was it end of a game, and it was a 57-yard attempt?
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that we don't really know about. But, I was surprised that they pulled the trigger on a kicker.
Yeah. So the other players, we'll go over them really quickly here as well. Chris McClellan, obviously, he is expected to be the Colby Wooden replacement that the Packers traded to get Zaire Franklin this upcoming season. So my best guess, he'll probably be one of the top two D tackles in that defensive front that Jonathan Gannon's going to have. And the thing is, we don't know what kind of scheme Gannon's going to run still.
No.
He has not come out and said what he's going to run. If he's going to run a 4-3, a 3-4,
right.
What worked for him in Philadelphia that led him to ultimately getting a trip to the Super Bowl a few years ago.
And it looks like Chris McClellan is pretty versatile.
Yes.
He's not stuck in one position.
Right.
And like our good friend of the show, Wayne Larrabee, said last week.
Yes.
You know, they might start out in a 3-4, 4-3, but in the NFL, they have so many different looks and changes that they're not like a high school team. You're kind of set in that defense.
You know, and the thing is that with college, even though you get a lot more disguises, there's still a lot of bases that you go for. Like, there's still the 3-4, the 4-3. There's a 4-2-5, a 5-2, a 4-4-3. Like, there are so many different options that you can get. It seems like that Chris McClellan is going to be the run stopper that Green Bay needs, which is good.
They need it.
Yes. So the other players that they ended up drafting, Jager Burton, Green Bay obviously needed offensive line depth at this point, and this is a classic Gutekunst pick, a late round pick on a versatile offensive lineman.
And versatile is the key. You know, he can play center, he can play guard.
Yep.
And you know, you got an option, because last year, look how many offensive linemen we went through.
A lot.
So having a guy like this at the at the 153 pick, I think is a really good pickup. And he played at Kentucky.
Yeah, which Kentucky is in the SEC. When you're in, if you get picked out of that in the SEC, you're going up against some pretty stiff competition, if you do say so yourself. He's 6'4", 312. And then Gutekunst likes to double up on these positions sometimes, and they did that with Damani Jackson in the sixth round. Damani Jackson was a starting corner at Alabama for a few years. He broke up seven passes in 2024. Has been a pretty good corner. He credits former Packers safety HaHa Clinton Dix, if you remember, drafted back in 2014, who is the director of player development at Alabama, for helping him keep his head up. So he's been looking to a former Packer for advice. And honestly, at this point, I think this is about as good of a draft as you could ask for Green Bay, Keith.
I think, yeah, without having that first-round pick, I think the Packers did great. And most, you know, you look at all these grades that they put online.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, didn't see any bad ones.
No, there was not one bad pick. Again, the smack pick was a little bit questionable since Green Bay traded up to get him, but you understand why they made the pick.
Yeah.
And then obviously they traded up with Tampa Bay to take McClellan, which I thought was a good move. Green Bay got three or four second round guys in their draft.
In that third and fourth round.
In that third and fourth round, which is great to see. Great to see. So again, the Packers, they finished their draft with six new players, and that means the next big item on the docket for the NFL is the schedule released. That is going to be released in 2 weeks.
Okay.
That'll be on either May 13th or May 14th. My best guess is that it'll be the similar thing that happened last year, where their whole schedule was leaked the day before. So that's just how the cookie crumbles in the NFL. And again, let's quickly go over the Packers' opponents in 2026. Now, the good news for Green Bay is that they are going to be getting 9 games at Lambeau Field this year with the 17-game schedule at this point. So these are the opponents. With home, you obviously have Bears, Lions, Vikings, both home and away with the divisional ones. Coming to Green Bay is Atlanta, Carolina, Buffalo, Miami, Houston, and Dallas. A lot of warm weather teams I see there. That's the first thing. They go to, this year, New England, defending AFC champion. Mm-hmm. New Orleans, they were a team that came on strong in the second half of last season. The Jets, they go to the Jets, and weird things always happen when Green Bay goes to the Jets. You never know what can happen. They go to Tampa Bay this year, which Green Bay obviously has had their struggles with Florida teams. And then they go to the Rams, who were in the NFC Championship game last season. So a pretty tough road schedule, a decent home schedule. It's going to depend a lot on how it happens. But they are going to be focusing on, Green Bay will, the NFC South and the AFC East this year.
Yeah. And put a little circle around that Miami game.
Yes.
I think that's going to be hyped up. So my prediction is that'll be an early game, I bet.
Yeah, I think it will be, too. I think that'll probably be a week three or a week four game. My dream scenario would be to have Green Bay and Dallas open at Lambeau on Sunday night. That would be awesome. I will also take Green Bay against Chicago on Sunday or Monday night as the opener. Yeah. I think that would be amazing as well.
I'm curious to see how many primetime games we get this year.
Yeah, I am too, because Green Bay has consistently gotten 4 or 5 primetime games over the last few years, even when they went with the transition from Rodgers to Love.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be pretty similar this year. I think it will be. So, a lot to look for. We got the NFL schedule release coming up in a couple weeks. Be sure to stay tuned for any leaked games, if you will, led up to that point. You're tuned into the Sports Queue here on WJJQ. Alex Stroh from ESPN Wisconsin is going to join us. We're going to talk Milwaukee Bucks and their new front man, Taylor Jenkins. That's coming up here on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Cube on WJJQ.
Looking for trusted legal help close to home? Weld Riley Attorneys have been serving individuals and businesses for nearly 50 years. With over 30 attorneys in 5 locations, they are proud now to have a brand new office right here in Tomahawk at 199 Oneida Drive. Whether it's personal legal matters or business or corporate needs or simply legal advice, you can count on Weld Riley for dedicated, responsive service. For experience you'd expect from the city, but service you'd expect from home, call 715-224-3411 to schedule your appointment with Weld Riley Attorneys. Happy to be a part of our Tomahawk community.
Does your investment strategy reflect what you want or just what the market's doing? This is Sarah Olson with Wealth Strategy Group. Our PRO strategy builds portfolios around your personal risk profile, income needs, and future plans. With our PRO strategy, your investments are guided by data-driven signals that help manage risk and capture opportunity, so you can stay focused on your goals, not headlines. Invest, plan, prosper with PRO by Wealth Strategy Group. Let's align your investments at WSGinvest.com or by calling us at 453-0722 to discuss how we can help you build your portfolio.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA and SIPC.
Shurl Tire and Auto Service in Tomahawk is proud to support the Tomahawk Hatchets. We're your go-to choice for top-quality automotive service and the best prices on Goodyear tires. We're the home of free tire repair. Bring in your auto or light truck flat tire, and we'll fix it at no charge. You can count on Shurl Tire and Auto Service to keep you rolling on and off the field. We're proud to support the Tomahawk Hatchets and help to keep our community moving forward and on the road to victory. Visit us at SherrillTire.com.
Get your car done right.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hours Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday. It's now time for our state interview. And joining us right back on the line, our nighttime producer from ESPN Wisconsin, Alex Stroff. Alex, thank you for joining me.
Good to join you as always, buddy. How are you?
I am doing great. I am a little bit wired, but I'm doing all right. How are things down in Milwaukee, my friend?
Life is good, man. All good here.
Life is great. Well, let's hope that life is great for the Milwaukee Bucks, Alex, because the Bucks... Yeah. I know. Well, the Bucks have made a recent move. They've hired Taylor Jenkins as their new head coach as of last week, taking over for Doc Rivers. The Bucks obviously went 32-50 last year. They have the 10th best odds to land the number one overall pick in the draft. I want to ask, what do you make of the Bucks hiring Jenkins to start?
Yeah, I mean, I like the hire, and I like that they wasted no time getting their guy, right? They're the first team to hire a new coach this offseason, and we're still kind of waiting for other dominoes to fall. The Bulls still haven't hired their new GM, which means they haven't hired their next coach. The Orlando Magic seemingly might win their first-round series now against Detroit, but that was a team who we thought could depart with their head coach. And frankly, I think all of those teams would have been interested in Taylor Jenkins. So I like how the Bucks wasted no time in going to get their guy. Now, the other part of this is, and I've talked a lot about this the last week or so with different people, is I think Taylor Jenkins accepted two different jobs with the Milwaukee Bucks, right? They're both title of head coach, but it's head coach of a rebuilding team or a head coach of a team that is gunning for a championship with one of the best players in the world, in Giannis Antetokounmpo. Seemingly the Bucks haven't made their decision on whether or not they want Giannis to be here for the foreseeable future. So that means Taylor Jenkins doesn't really know what his job is quite yet. Will Giannis be here? Will Giannis not be here? And that is the big question we await. But nonetheless, it will be Taylor Jenkins at the helm, and obviously a really respected head coach. So a good hire by the Bucks. It's just a matter of what is his job come the start of the season later this year.
So let's go ahead and switch over to Giannis, obviously, because that's the biggest domino to fall for the Bucks this offseason by far. What do you think this means personally for Giannis's future with Jenkins being hired, Stroff?
I don't know that it affects it a whole heck of a lot, to be honest with you, Alex. I think, you know, ultimately it's going to come down to his relationship with the upper brass, right, the ownership group specifically. Does he feel respected? Does he feel disrespected? We know, obviously, he was not thrilled with the idea of being shut down at the end of the regular season, despite the Bucks being out of playoff contention, or I guess when he could have come back very close to out of playoff contention and then ultimately out of playoff contention. But does he feel respected? Does he feel like – the Bucks are in a position to win another championship. He spoke tirelessly over the years about, yeah, it was cool to win one in 2021, but I want to win another one. If you win a second championship, it changes your legacy, and he cares a lot about that. And quite obviously, what we saw from Milwaukee this past season was nowhere near a championship contending
group,
even with Giannis on the team, right? So what does that mean for some of the other pieces on this team? What does that mean for the futures of the Kyle Kuzmas of the world? What does that mean for the futures of Kevin Porter Jr. and Miles Turner and some of those guys that made up this roster and played a lot of meaningful minutes for this team? Are they going to be on the roster in 26, 27 if Giannis is? And if Giannis isn't, are they on the roster? So there's a lot to figure out and parse through the next couple of weeks and months for Milwaukee, especially as we lead up to the lottery here in a few weeks. What's the Bucks' draft position? Can they acquire assets, or will they be selling assets come the NBA draft in June? Those are all questions the Bucks need to figure out, and frankly, I'm not certain they have made a decision one way or another quite yet.
And we're talking with Alex Strofe, our nighttime producer from ESPN Wisconsin, on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Strofe, let's quickly switch over to the NBA draft. You mentioned this is the first time the Bucks are in the lottery in 10 years. Obviously, free agency for the NBA starts after the draft. I want to ask you, it's going to depend a lot on where the Bucks are slated in the lottery, but where do you think they go in the draft this year?
Yeah, it's a matter of even if they hang on to their pick, right? I mean, they're most likely slotted to have either the 9th or 10th pick in the draft, which as good of a draft as this is, you'd much rather be positioned in the top 3, 4, 5 picks.
Right.
Because that's where I think your instant contributors will be. Not to say a guy drafted 10th or 11th can't evolve into an all-star, a really nice piece for somebody, but I don't know if they'll be viewed as somebody that can contribute, you know, and elevate to that level right away in year one. So I don't think, let's just say it's the 9th or 10th pick, Alex. If the Bucks have that, I don't think that, again, I just don't think that's a pick that sways Giannis's opinion one way or another. To go from, okay, we sucked this year, to, oh, yeah, bringing that guy can make us an instant contender again. So the draft piece, I mean, of course it's important because you're right. It's the first time under the direction of general manager John Horst that this team has had a lottery pick. But now can they get it to a point where, you know, they can trade it for an asset? Can they trade a top 10 pick and go get I'm just throwing out a name, but can they go get a guy like Kevin Durant, who obviously is unhappy in his situation? Can they package it with something else? Can they package it with a player and go get a guy that would change Giannis's mind on wanting to stay and sign that Supermax come October 1st? So it's great that John Horst will have his first lottery pick in his career as the general manager in Milwaukee, but does he even make a selection there is ultimately the question. But again, you know, I don't have a lot of great answers for you when it comes to
right.
the direction, because I don't think the Bucks have good answers for anybody right now when it comes to the direction. And it all, as we know, and it has for months, if not years at this point, come down to what's going to happen with Giannis, right? And that will change a lot of the answers of what the offseason looks like. But as far as anybody's aware, the Bucks haven't made a decision on whether or not they want to continue with Giannis or if they want to offload him for additional assets. So, I mean, we should have a better idea by draft night. That's what I can tell you. If they make a selection at 9 or 10, that should probably tell you all right, and they haven't made any moves at that point. That should probably tell you, okay, it's probably looking like Giannis won't be here. But I could be wrong on that because nobody really knows what the future holds there.
Exactly. You touched a lot on John Horst, the general manager, Strofe. Obviously, there were a lot of calls. There was some speculation about him potentially being let go as well, along with Doc Rivers. Do you think that this is a very important offseason for Horst as the general manager?
Of course it is. I mean, when you've got the will-he-won't-he game going on with the greatest player in franchise history, of course there's going to be speculation about anybody else's future with the organization. And for what it's worth, I think John Horst has done an excellent job in the Giannis era, obviously winning a championship back in 2021. But
right.
I think he's done an excellent job handling one of the best superstars in sports. When you look at his track record, whether that be in free agency or via the trade market, he's taken every swing he possibly can to try to appease Giannis and try to get this roster over the hump and get back to the NBA Finals, which they obviously haven't done since they won it in 2021. You think about the Jrue Holiday move prior to the title. You think about the Damian Lillard move a few years ago. You think about the wave and stretch and bringing in Miles Turner this previous offseason. Didn't work out the way they thought it would, but it was a swing that you absolutely have to take if you're going to keep Giannis pleased and happy and want to remain in one of, if not the smallest market in the NBA. So I think he's done an excellent job. I think he's worthy of keeping his job. I think it would be an overstep to move on from him this season.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the guy that got you to the promised land, so he should be at least allowed the opportunity to be the guy to help you figure it out as you move forward.
So, Strofe, let's quickly go back to the draft here. We have stated that the Bucks are currently slated to have the 9th or 10th pick roughly in the NBA draft. What pick do you think, if the Bucks get it, would compel Giannis to stay in Milwaukee? Are you looking at a top 5 or a top 3 pick?
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be, and you'd really need some luck. I mean, you really need some, like, Robinson Knicks luck. The Mavericks Cooper Flag luck, the frozen envelope, if you will. So how it lays out, for those of you that aren't aware, the Bucks will get the lower of the two picks between the Bucks and the Pelicans. So the Pelicans will, let's say they draw the number one overall pick, the Pelicans get that. Or even if the Bucks were to draw the number one overall pick, that'd be the Pelicans' pick, and then the Bucks would get whatever the Pelicans drew. So you'd need both the Bucks and the Pelicans to draw in the top three, which is, kind of the random thing they reveal on lottery night, which is, that spectacle that's coming up in a couple weeks in Chicago. I don't know if anything really sways the decision in terms of the pick, right? I mean, if you can go draft an instant contributor like AJ DeBonsta or Darren Peterson or one of the best players out there, of course it compels you to go, okay, yeah, maybe they could be a little bit better here in next year. But that's only one player. That's only one pick. That's only one change in direction for Milwaukee. And to get from one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference, right? This team wasn't even in the play-in this past year, to a title contender. More than one move needs to be made. So it's a crucial offseason, but the good news is Giannis can't sign the Supermax until October 1st. So we're probably not, understanding his decision, Giannis's, if he wants to stay or leave. I would guess until July, around the 4th of July, is probably when we're getting a real good understanding of where his head's at. But does a top three pick help? Of course it does, but it's very unlikely, as we've stated throughout.
Without a doubt. Again, the Bucks have hired Taylor Jenkins as their new head coach. Little very quickly the resume. Jenkins in 6 seasons as the Grizzlies head coach, 250-214 record, 3 playoff appearances, including a second round berth in 2021, 2022. The NBA draft lottery is on Mother's Day, May 10th in Chicago. Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee. Alex, thank you very much for joining me. Have a great rest of your day, man.
You as well, buddy. Thanks for the time, as always.
Absolutely. Alex Stroh from ESPN Wisconsin here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We'll take a break and be back with more after this.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A divided Supreme Court has struck down Louisiana's congressional map, finding that lawmakers illegally used race when drawing up a new majority black district. CBS's Allison Keyes.
The Supreme Court's decision weakens a key section of the Voting Rights Act, which protects against discrimination in redistricting. CBS News legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
Supreme Court,
a Louisiana Republican, supports the court's ruling. Johnson says we'll see if lawmakers there go in and draw new maps before the state's primary in 2 weeks. Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
President Trump has spoken with Russian President Putin about the wars in Ukraine and Iran. CBS's Linda Kenyon reports.
The president says it was a very good conversation with his Russian counterpart. The two spoke about Ukraine and Iran, with Trump saying Putin offered to play a role in the Iran war.
He told me he'd like to be involved with the enrichment if he can help us get it. I said I'd much rather have you be involved with ending the war with Ukraine.
The president says he and Putin also spoke about Iran's nuclear capabilities, saying they're not going to have a nuclear weapon. He added Putin doesn't want Iran to have a nuclear weapon either. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is defending the Pentagon's record budget request on Capitol Hill. He has told the House Armed Services Committee the record $1.5 trillion budget addresses the urgency of the moment.
This budget also includes a historic troop pay increase, 7% for lower enlisted,
and the budget eliminates all poor or failing barracks.
The House has given approval to a three-year extension of a U.S. surveillance program. CBS's Cammie McCormick with more.
The program was set to expire on Friday. In approving its extension, new oversight measures were added, including a monthly civil liberties review. But lawmakers stopped short of adding a requirement for warrants. Speaker Mike Johnson said two-thirds of the president's daily national security briefing comes from intelligence collected by the statute, and it couldn't go dark. But it faces an uncertain future in the Senate.
The Federal Reserve is signaling it could cut rates in the coming months, but is keeping things steady for now. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
In its statement, the Fed noted that while inflation is elevated because of the increase in global energy prices due to the war in the Middle East, prices overall have not accelerated.
Also, Fed Chair Jerome Powell plans to remain a board governor after his term as chair ends next month, citing legal actions by the Trump administration. This is CBS News.
The stars shine brighter on CBS Morning.
This is a slam dunk.
So cute.
Y'all came in singing for me today.
On CBS Mornings.
I built this business the old-fashioned way. Hard work and a whole lot of spreadsheets.
Yeah, about that, I upgraded us to Odoo. Odoo puts everything we need, sales, inventory, accounting, on one connected platform. No more juggling systems, no more headaches.
So it all works together?
Exactly.
Odoo is the all-in-one business software that makes running and passing on a business easier than ever. Take your business into the next generation. Try Odoo free at Odoo.com. That's Odoo.com.
Wait. Everything on this IHOP value menu is just $6?
I told you it was amazing. A huge plate of pancakes, bacon, and eggs is just $6.
Wow.
There's also French toast, a ham and cheese omelet, and oh, they got a BLT and fries now.
Okay, we're coming here every day.
You don't have to tell me twice.
Feast for just $6 with the IHOP value menu. $7 in some locations, available every day for a limited time at participating restaurants in the U.S. Hours may vary. No substitutions. Not valid with other discounts or promotions. Prices may vary.
A couple of golden oldies rub shoulders near Los Angeles, CBS's Deborah Rodriguez explains.
There's nothing old about 100 when you're Dick Van Dyke. The centenarian was spotted laughing and tapping his feet next to his wife Arlene Silver at an event in Malibu when a legendary musician leaned over to introduce himself. A relative youngster at 91, Herb Alpert of the Tijuana Brass, shook his hand as Van Dyke explained, "You gotta keep moving." The actor's personal photographer shared the clip on Instagram. Fans gushed, "He's so adorable. Look at him chair dancing." And icons being icons. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
A coalition of Tennessee activists known for fighting book bans will be honored by PEN America at its annual gala. The Rutherford County Library Alliance, based in Murfreesboro, will receive the Penn Benison Courage Awards on May 14th. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
And a very good Wednesday evening. Alex Cook with you here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. It's 6:05, 45 degrees is our temperature. Under overcast skies, low for tonight is 29. Predicted high for tomorrow is 46, with a 30% chance of a rain-snow mix in the day tomorrow. We'll take a look at your weather forecast from Tony Schumacher after that. We're going to go into some local sports, and then coming up a little later on, we're going to talk about the Brewers' recent slide and Jaden Reed's contract extension as well. Plus, we will be talking the streaky Brewers. That's a good way to describe them. Plus, we will be having a brand new guest talk Brewers with us next week. That will also be announced towards the end of the show. Be sure to stay tuned for that. Here's your weather forecast from Tony Schumacher. Tony?
The forecast for northern Wisconsin for tonight, a freeze warning over in Taylor County. Otherwise, a cold one with partial clearing as temperatures drop to the upper 20s. Light northwest wind. Tomorrow, some patchy sunshine. Also, a chance of a sprinkle for the afternoon. High near 49. Wind out of the northwest up to 10. Friday, partly cloudy. Low 25, high 49. Saturday morning, low 24, then a high of 55. Partly cloudy. A chance of showers Sunday, high 63. Stay warm out there. This is meteorologist Tony Schumacher from the WJJQ Weather Center.
The Sports Q on WJJQ, your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods. Here's your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook and Keith Hansey back here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. You know, I think Keith Hansey called us off the air, the A team, I guess you could say. Does that mean that everybody else is the B team that comes in?
Yeah, you know, when Mark and Jim or whatever their names are that come in, you know, it's just not the same.
Yeah, that's not their names. That's not their names, Keith.
I can't remember who those guys are.
You can't. this is why we have fun in the show. Yeah, we always have fun in the show,
and
right?
They know if they don't show up, they're going to get picked on.
I think they know that, and I think I know that as well. So obviously, we talked really briefly with Alex Strope about the Bucks bringing on Taylor Jenkins. That is one answer of the many questions that the Bucks have coming up in this offseason. Meanwhile, the other team that's in Milwaukee, they've been up and down, to say the least, so far here. They did get a big one, but let's talk about this Brewer squad. And that is the wrong music, ladies and gentlemen. There we go. There's the right one.
Better. That's better. That's
baseball. I was going to say that's probably better, isn't it? You know, I'm a professional, folks. I am a professional. I can say that with absolute certainty. So the Brewers currently sit at 15-13 on the season, which is not a bad start, pretty similar to what they had last year. But here's the crazy part. They're fifth in the National League Central. Every team in the National League Central is above 500 this year, which is surprising.
It is.
They are 7-11 since that time. The Brewers are playing without Jackson Chourio, Christian Yelich, Andrew Vaughn, Quinn Priester. Now, the good news is that Yelich and Vaughn are going to be getting their rehab assignments underway this week down in Nashville. So hopefully we'll expect them back in a few days. The Brewers are currently in a three-game set with the Arizona Diamondbacks at American Family Field. They won yesterday 13-2. Game two is tonight, and it's Brandon Sproat on the mound for the Crew. So, Keith Hansey, my question to you is, why do you think the Brewers are having this kind of streaky April, in your estimation?
Obviously, there's some injuries, but they've just been, even without the injuries, super inconsistent. You know, they've struggled from the bullpen, just not getting the bats alive, not finishing games. But then you see a game like last night, where they could put up 13 runs and hit everything, and just, I don't know. They're inconsistent. It's still early in the season.
Yes, it is.
They started out on fire.
Yeah.
They started out kind of where they left off last year. So I don't know. There's not like one injury that happened and all of a sudden they had a losing streak. You know, they just lost some series and lost the teams that they shouldn't have.
So I think a couple of things are happening here. First of all, the injuries definitely have something to do with this, because that's the reason why their offense has been struggling so much. You lose Chourio, Yelich, and Vaughn, three of your top players, three of your top offensive players, by the way, from last season.
Yeah.
You're going to see a dip. No doubt about it. And they were treading water with Yelich at the plate, especially early on. But after he went down with his injury, it seems like it's just been one after another with this. So I think that offensively, I think Milwaukee will be fine. It's just a matter of them getting back, getting healthy. It's a matter of them getting healthy offensively. Here's the concern, though, Keith, and I'm going to point this to you. The concern to me is the bullpen.
Yep.
It's the bullpen. And that's not something that we typically say with a Milwaukee Brewers team over the last few years under Craig Counsell and Pat Murphy. So Pat Murphy took over as the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what their MLB rankings were in bullpen ERA over the last 3 years, before this year?
No.
They were third in all of baseball in 2023, first in the National League, second in all of baseball in 2024, first in all of baseball last season. This year, they're 14th.
Yes.
Middle of the pack. And Trevor McGill is not finding the strike zone. He has seemed to have a lot of control issues early on. Can that be fixed? It can, but it's going to take a while. Abner Uribe has been okay. He hasn't been great. He's been hit and miss. And the guys that they expected to bring in and be key contributors, guys like Angel Zerpa, the only reliever that's really having a good season so far at this point in time is D.L. Hall for the squad. Jake Woodford had three innings last night against Arizona. But I think the big issue for Milwaukee is that they are having a hard time getting guys out late in games. And typically, that's what we have seen from the Brewers over the last few years.
Right.
We've seen it a couple times in the postseason. But in the regular season, no. We haven't seen it like this. So now there's a lot of questions at who's going to be the closer. There's questions at who is going to, you know, take over. Are they going to try and make some moves? So they need to get this bullpen figured out sooner rather than later.
Yes, definitely. The bullpen, Yeah, getting the guys that can finish these games.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see some of these guys may move down. There'll be fifth to sixth inning guys that
yeah.
may come in.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to blow a lead either, or if you need to, you know, shut people down to score runs.
Yeah.
And they brought a lot of these people in with those trades.
Exactly.
And yeah, so far it's not working out.
Well, the one thing I will say is that the starting pitching has at least been effective.
Yes.
Like, it's not the starting pitcher's fault by any stretch of the imagination. There have been a couple of games where they've had where they've been falling by the wayside, but it's not that. It has been that those relievers in that bullpen. Their ERA currently as a bullpen unit is 4.03. It's above 4. That's not good.
That's not good.
No, it's not good.
Typically,
with a bullpen ERA, you want that 3.25 to 3.75 range. And again, they were first in all of baseball with a 3.58 ERA last season. So their ERA points have gone up. Again, they're walking a lot of batters. They're not getting the outs that they need to. A lot of teams that Milwaukee should have beaten or should have at least won series against early on in the season,
yeah.
they haven't been able to do that yet. Now, the silver lining to this is, we were talking about this also at the beginning of last year, and they ended up rolling off 97 games.
Yeah.
They ended up winning 97 games, which was a franchise record. So I'm not going to put the panic button on, but if we keep seeing these bullpen issues at the end of May, Then I think the alarm bells could start going off. But I think that it's going to be a matter of those guys coming back. Again, as we mentioned, Churio and Vaughn are expected to be back hopefully in a week or so, because they begin the rehab assignments today down in Nashville. Christian Yelich is still going to be out for another couple weeks. He'll be back probably by the end of May. And then Quinn Priester, haven't heard the latest on him, but hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later. So this Brewer squad, again, they have been resilient throughout the course of the time with Pat Murphy at the helm.
Yeah.
So I've got no doubt that they can get it fixed, but it needs to be fixed sooner rather than later.
And you mentioned it right there with Pat Murphy. Not worried or panicking at all, because he's such a great manager, and he's got the pitching coaches. But he seems to be able to settle that team down, and he'll right the ship. I mean, I have no doubts.
Yeah. Now here's the other thing as well. The National League Central is a lot tougher this year than it has been in previous years. Because you've got the Cubs that are a lot better. The Reds have this great rookie, Sal Stewart, as well, that's currently first in Rookie of the Year voting. You've got Pittsburgh, who's surprising a lot of people, and the Cardinals, who always seem to find some sort of devil magic to make themselves competitive.
Come back. You know,
yeah, they always come back.
Cubs
and always
are right there. And, and typically, we don't have Pittsburgh playing this well.
No.
In the beginning of the season.
No, we don't. We typically don't have Pittsburgh playing this well at the beginning of the season.
No.
We typically have them playing when baseball doesn't matter for them anymore.
Right. Right. But, you know, so the Brewers cannot dig a hole.
No, they can't.
Because it'd be hard to dig out, you know, after the All-Star game and try and make that playoff run, especially if the Central is this tough and they keep playing like they are.
So I'm going to ask you a question. Who do you think is in first place in the National League Central right now?
Pirates?
No. Reds. The Reds are in first place in the National League Central as we speak.
They still have a team in Cincinnati?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Yes, they do. They currently sit at 19-10. This is the National League Central, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. The Reds are 19-10. The Cubs are 19-12. The Cardinals are 16-13. The Brewers are 15-13. And the Pirates are 16-14. That's how this season's been. Everything has been so competitive. So it's going to come down to a lot more division games. And the Brewers so far, they haven't done well in their one division series. They lost 2 out of 3 to Pittsburgh. Game 2 between the Brewers and the Diamondbacks is getting underway in just a little bit, approximately 25 minutes. Again, Brandon Sproat takes the mound for the crew against the Diamondbacks' Eduardo Rodriguez. That will get underway at 6:40. This is the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We're going to go over some local sports for you coming up. That's after this.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Subway of Tomahawk is a proud sponsor of the Tomahawk Hatchets. Fuel up before or after the game with fresh subs, crisp salads, and of course, one of our famous cookies for your sweet tooth. Planning a team get-together or family celebration? Let Subway make it easy with catering. Just give us a call or use the Subway mobile app for easy ordering, and we'll handle the rest. We're proud to support the Tomahawk Hatchets and help to keep our community and local athletes fueled and ready for victory.
Hi, this is Matt Tyler from Wild Rivers Group Real Estate of Tomahawk and serving all of the Northwoods area.
We have buyers and need listings. Are you thinking about selling your home? If so, give me a call at 715-490-1820. The market is still hot, and now is the time to list your property. I will give you all the details on what your property is worth in today's market and help you find a buyer. Call me, Matt Tyler, at 715-490-1820 or stop by our office at 1414 North 4th Street in Tomahawk. You can also check us out online at wildriversgroup.com.
John J. Shuni Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuni Construction of Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook and Keith Hansey back here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening.
Alex, the A-team.
The A-team?
Yeah.
Where's Sylvester Stallone when you need him? Well, I know that it's not going to be quite Sylvester Stallone, but we do have a brand new guest that's going to be joining us next week. I have not told Keith Hansey this,
no,
by the way,
this is
brand new.
Surprise all the way around.
Yeah, surprise all the way around. Keith Hansey, we are going to have Brewers TV analyst Vinny Rattino on next week to talk some Brewers. Yes, he has been.
That'll be some good insight.
Oh, absolutely. So he has been a pre- and post-game show host for the squad. He's also done some spot color commentary duties in the place of Bill Schrader with Jeff Levering and Brian Anderson. Very, 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 very smart guy. Very good broadcaster. We are going to get the chance to pick his brain next week.
Right.
So that is definitely something to look forward to. Vinny Rattino will be our guest next week here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. But I do believe that we should stay on the diamond, and we're going to go ahead and transition over to local sports. What do you say?
All right. All for it.
All right. Hey, there you go. Nothing like a little Tom Petty to lead you into local sports, right, Keith?
That is correct.
That is correct. So, again, we got local sports going on here in Tomahawk as we speak. Again, it's... If you know this, and we have said this a few times on the air, there are times where we need to give athletic director Ryan Flynn his money, like some like some extra money, because
like spring sports, like in the last 2 weeks,
yes. Yeah. So to give you a perspective, ladies and gentlemen, Keith and I, we were supposed to be doing a game between Tomahawk and Northland Pines for baseball last night here at TK Field.
Yes,
and you know, obviously, with how unpredictable the weather is, sometimes you'll get, you know, a location change, something that's out of our control. Well, they moved the game to Eagle River. We couldn't make the trip up. So instead, we decided to stick around and we added a game later on this week. We thought that we were going to go to Rhinelander. And for those of you that have not been, I personally have been to Rhinelander's ball field. It's a nice ball field.
Yeah, right on the water.
It's right on Boom Lake. You can see the sunset going over it as you play. It's a wonderful, wonderful ballpark. So we were supposed to be there on Friday. Then I get an email earlier today saying, excuse me, this is how so excited, I can't even finish, that the Thursday and Friday locations are switched. So instead, Tomahawk Baseball will play Rhinelander Thursday at Rhinelander Thursday, and then they will play against the same team at Tomahawk on Friday, and Keith and I will be in the broadcast booth for that. And the other thing to point out with Tomahawk Baseball this year, Keith, you and I have been able to do one game so far this year.
And we traveled to Merrill for that.
Yeah, and we had to Merrill for that one.
Right.
But looking at this squad, this team definitely has the potential to make some noise. The big thing for them is that they do have to clean up their fielding issues.
Yes. Fielding errors.
Yes, fielding errors.
They've been their Achilles heel so far.
Yes.
We even seen some in the Merrill game, but they were able to battle back and get the bats alive and score 18 runs in that game. And outlast them. But, yeah, definitely the fielding errors have to get cleaned up.
Yeah.
And we're getting to a point in the season now. You know, they've obviously in the beginning of the season, they're not outside playing. They're not practicing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can only do so much in a gym and a batting cage.
Yes.
Until you get out there and you're throwing those distances off grass or off the infield, you can't duplicate that. And now they've got enough games, I think, under their belt that the air should be cleaned up. So.
They should be cleaned up. And again, in case you don't know, Rhinelander right now is the only undefeated team remaining in the Great Northern Conference at this point.
Yes.
And Northern Pines is second. So they're not they're not a slouch either by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
Looking at this squad, the important thing to point out is that you have to find out like the right pieces here, because there's a lot of old faces in new places, I like to say. Mm-hmm. And Coach Jason Olsen, who, by the way, is doing a good job this year.
Fantastic.
Yeah, putting this team together. He's just trying to figure out, you know, who goes where, what goes next. You know, this is his first head coaching gig. So he's still trying to figure out where to go from here. And you look at this group, they have a lot of senior leaders on this squad. The other thing is the senior leaders, you want to see that leadership start to show as the season starts to go on. Because, again, hard to believe it, we're less than a month away from the playoffs.
I know.
We're less than a month away from the playoffs.
And the spring season, you know, with all the reschedules and cancellations and moving to doubleheaders to make up games.
Yeah.
You know, it's a mad scramble.
It is.
The season goes super fast.
Yeah.
Especially when you can't play the first 2 weeks.
Right.
All those games get moved or canceled because they're typically non-conference.
Yeah.
But you need those games to be at a mid-season point right now where we haven't had enough games to really be at that mid-season. But now, all of a sudden, knocking on the door is the playoffs in a month.
Yeah, in a month. And the seeding meetings are in a few weeks as well, which is definitely something to be pay attention to. Meanwhile, the other side, you got the softball team for Tomahawk. And this squad, you know, they had pretty much everybody coming back from last season outside of Lydia Zerd. But the player that has stepped up and has taken a big step forward is Cameron Cracklow, their starting pitcher. She has pitched well in a lot more spots this year than she has last year, including getting a win over Athens last night. And they've got some really good senior fielders behind her. But again, they've got to clean up the errors as well if they're going to make a push in the postseason.
Yes, errors and, you know, some of their losses just, they don't have as many hits.
Yeah.
They got to wake those bats up. But Cameron is doing, she's doing a fantastic job as a sophomore out there pitching, and she is pitching a lot.
Carrying the load.
What was their pitch count in that? Was it the Rhinelander game?
Yeah, it was the Rhinelander game. So she pitched 8 2/3 innings. Tomahawk ended up losing that game in 9. I believe it was at 150 pitches.
Yes.
And then the very next day, she comes back and throws 79 in a complete game victory over Merrill.
Yeah.
That goes to show you how it is in softball at this point.
For listeners that aren't super familiar, in baseball, you have pitch count.
Mm-hmm.
So when pitchers in high school baseball reach a certain number, especially the 100 is the one, there's certain days they have to rest.
Right.
They don't have that in softball.
No, they don't.
So
they don't.
You could throw it. Obviously, it's a different motion,
mm-hmm.
but you know, she's throwing the ball hard.
Yeah, she is.
That's a lot of pitches.
That is a lot of pitches to throw. So again, Tomahawk softball, they're currently 5-7. So they've got half their games under their belt this year. And they've got Rhinelander coming up on Thursday. Speaking of which, Matt Tyler, that's his name, by the way.
Oh, Keith. Matt. I thought it was Mark.
No, it is Matt, yes. Huh. Matt Tyler will be with me.
All these years next to him, I didn't know his name.
In the broadcast booth, Fairman Orthodontics Radio pregame show, 4:35, first pitch at 5 over on Sports Talk, 810 a.m. and 97.7 FM WJJQ. Again, also coming up this week, Tomahawk track and field. Keith, I know that you follow that sport quite a bit. They're going to be out in Wautoma on Friday. They're going to make a little bit of a trip down. That'll get underway at 4 o'clock. And the one thing that I noticed with Tomahawk track and field this season is they have more boys than girls on the roster this year, which is unusual.
Yes.
It's unusual because, you know, historically, since Coach Kirk Cordova took over, it's been more girls than boys.
Oh, and sometimes by double.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic to see the numbers out there. And, you know, it's, again, still early for them because we don't really get much of an indoor track season.
Yes.
They're out. And our weather has not been conducive to good track meets.
No, it hasn't.
Cold weather typically doesn't create fast running.
No.
It's more difficult to high jump. It's way more difficult for pole vaulting. It makes the pole stiffer in the cold. So they're battling through it, though. And one of these days, it's going to warm up for a track meet.
I thought that you were going to say also that maybe the baton would freeze to their hand.
No.
And speaking of track and field, we will be providing coverage of the home track and field meet once again this season. Mark your calendars. That is May 12th. May 12th. Yes, that's a Tuesday night. It's the Tuesday after Mother's Day. So that is, yeah, can you tell I have Mother's Day etched in my brain with me being a dad, Keith?
Yes. Don't forget it.
I'm not going to forget it. I'm not going to forget it. I've already got something planned. So, and then you go over to the golf course as well.
Yeah.
And Tomahawk, they've got a lot of young, talented golfers on that squad. You've got Jake Albert as well that's been, you know, that has, you know, split time between this and Team Wisconsin Hockey. You've got a wonderful guy, Oliver Childers, who came into the season as perhaps the best golfer on this on their squad, and they've been able to produce. The sophomores are gaining those that experience that they absolutely need in order to compete in a tough Great Northern Conference.
A very tough Great Northern Conference. A lot of good golfers out there.
Yeah.
And as we talked to Sean earlier, you know, having those simulators is huge for these golf guys.
Yes, it is.
It's huge for them to be swinging that club because, you know, to be honest, sports now, even in high school, they're not just the 2 months of that sport.
Right.
Everything has become a 9-10 month sport.
It is.
So golf, just like the other, you know, where you play volleyball or softball or wherever all the way around, now these guys are able to hit that simulator, just keep that stroke, hitting the balls into the simulator backdrop there, and I think it's going to help out. The only thing you really can't simulate is putting.
Yeah.
But you can chip, you can hit, drive, but it's making a difference. We're seeing a lot of good golfers.
Just to give you some perspective, this is how unathletic I was, actually, as a matter of fact. I actually played basketball for a year in high school, Keith Hansey.
Nice.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I was about as athletic as a wounded gazelle.
I did see your work when the Washington Wizards were in. I did see you out there. I don't know if you recall that.
Oh, man. I can't believe the Wizards invited me to an NBA tryout. I really can. I know. They must be desperate for talent if they're asking a 31-year-old over-the-hill radio guy that didn't play a single varsity basketball game to be on their team. I mean, look, I played 1 year basketball, and I played freshman year, and then I played summer league. Okay. And summer league was a couple of months, obviously, as you know. And sometimes those kids, when you go up against some of those kids in summer league, it's a lot. There's a lot stiffer competition in that sometimes than what you see on the court on a consistent basis. So it helps that experience in that regard. But again, everything has become, you know, a year long sport.
It is.
That's just the nature of the beast.
That's
just the nature of the beast in today's sports, but a lot of local sports coming up. So our next broadcast of Hatchet Sports is coming up tomorrow. Tomahawk softball takes on Rhinelander. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show 4:35. First pitch at 5. Matt Tyler will join me in the broadcast booth. And then Keith and I will be at TK Field for the first time this year on Friday.
Well, that's on paper right now.
That's on paper.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more updates.
Yeah,
yes,
excited to finally get to TK Field.
Right? Yeah, exactly. We broadcast some good games also last year, too.
Yes.
Fairman Orthodontics pregame show, 4:35, first pitch at 5 o'clock from TK Field. And again, Keith and I will be in the broadcast booth. Tomahawk takes on Great Northern Conference leader Rhinelander. Right now, they are the favorite to win the conference. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. After the break, we're going to go right back to the football field. We're going to talk Jaden Reed's contract extension. What that could mean for Green Bay going forward, that's coming up after this. Your weather forecast is next.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
We have tasted a bit of warmer weather this early spring, so now is the time to think about your air conditioning systems because hot weather is right around the corner. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox Signature Collection of air conditioners and furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Lennox is proud to be an official Energy Star partner and offer Lennox home comfort systems that save you energy and money. Call Premier today. Josh will give you all the information about Dave Lennox Signature Collection with the furnace just right for your heating and cooling needs to be ready for a hot summer. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A. Call 453-4700 and online at premierheatingcooling.com.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. partly cloudy tonight with a chance of rain showers. Lows dip down to about 26. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies tomorrow. Slight chance for showers. Daytime highs approaching 46. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwood's 92.5 WJJQ. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
Banking has become more complicated. Hidden fees, getting a real human being on the phone, relying solely on technology to get answers you need about your money. Crossbridge Community Bank is local on purpose. When you call, you get one of our amazing universal bankers located in Tomahawk or Merrill. Our fees? Straightforward. And if you have a concern, you can talk to someone directly to get answers. And if technology fails, we have real people who can help. Yes, there may be hundreds of online options for your finances, but wouldn't you rather know you can walk into one of our locations or call and immediately get the help you need? Crossbridge Community Bank, putting purpose first. FDIC insured, equal housing lender.
Welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwood's 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook and Keith Hansey back here with you, otherwise known as the A-Team, as he likes to say.
Yes.
You think we're going to get any of those guys from that movie in here?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? You think that's too far-fetched?
It could be. Mr. T, maybe.
Mr. T. I pity the fool! Meanwhile, I'm just going to go ahead, sit here, and read this.
You see what I did there?
Yes. Yeah. We're going to head right back to the football field. And the first receiver in the Packers room gets an extension. We're going to go ahead and talk about that. So the Packers give a 3-year, $50 million contract extension to Jaden Reed. He's the first Packer to get that extension. Now, healthy, Jaden Reed was productive, 1,650 receiving yards, 14 scores, did rush for 282 yards in two healthy seasons last year. He missed 10 games due to a broken collarbone, 50th pick out of the 2023 NFL draft out of Michigan State, and is the first receiver in that Packers receiver room to get a contract extension. You've now got Matthew Golden and Savion Williams in their second year, and the biggest question mark is going to be, is Christian Watson going to be healthy? So, Keith, my question for you with this extension here, do you think that this was the right move?
I'm going to say no.
Really?
I'm going to say no. And let me tell you why. I thought, you look at that room, there's no wily veteran out there. Other than Reed's probably the most veteran guy.
Watson is. He's been in longer. Watson, yes.
Mm-hmm. But I thought maybe Reed would go. And his injury last year was a broken collarbone. That wasn't like ACL or anything. That recovery is good. But you look at when he did come back, but there were so many receivers, it's kind of hard to do that. But I was hoping they would maybe trade him for like a more experienced, like monster wide receiver. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, here's the thing with this, Keith. This receiver room, the one thing that you can say about this is that it's starting to take form.
Because
Romeo Doubs is now in New England. Mm-hmm. The Packers traded for Dontavian Wicks.
Yep.
The Packers traded Dontavian Wicks, to Philly. So now you've got Matt Golden, who's a deep threat, has shown flashes. But I think that he didn't see enough of the field.
He didn't get the opportunities.
He did not get the opportunities that he should have.
Right.
Savion Williams, I think will see the field a little bit more. He's a tall, rangy receiver, 6'4", can jump out of the gym, and he's also a gadget guy too. So Matt LaFleur will have fun with him. But again, Christian Watson's the biggest question mark. And he, when healthy, he's been a legit deep threat. He has been. The problem is when he's healthy.
When he's healthy.
And this is the first time we've seen Jaden Reed have an injury concern,
mm-hmm.
for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Because, again, I was a fan of his. I got the chance to talk with him a little bit during his rookie year, and he is a very well-spoken, very, very well-put-together young man. And I could say young man since I'm 31 now. Mm-hmm. And he's just a really, really good guy. I still remember when, you know, before he had his NFL debut, he went back to Chicago, and he was happy about that since it was a homecoming for him. I think the biggest thing with this, Keith, is that right now you're not paying him like a number one receiver.
No.
You're not, because Reed hasn't proven to be a number one receiver.
Right.
Now, what he has proven is that when he's been on the field, he's been productive. You can't say that for much of the other receivers yet. No. Yet.
But they didn't get the opportunity either.
No, they did not. Because I thought that Dobbs got a little too many opportunities last year. I didn't think Wicks got a lot of opportunities last year. So now with that receiver room starting to take shape a little bit, and obviously Wicks could very well be the number two receiver in Philly, because there's a possibility that the Eagles could trade A.J. Brown. The important thing to point out is, what do you got there?
I just had a wood tick on me.
What? And you brought that into the station?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Well, he was on my leg. I was showing some vacant land earlier.
Look, Keith, this is really ticking me off.
Those are terrible. Love it.
Okay. Oh, it's terrible? Do you want me to go ahead and like rip the sheet out? Oh, man. See this, I'm here all week, folks. Yeah. I'm here all week. Here. Okay, back to this.
Yeah.
Okay. So the one thing you can say with Jaden Reed is that, again, he has been the most productive receiver for Green Bay since being drafted, and he's probably the most productive out of the four that Green Bay currently has. Now, again, I agree with you. I think they do need another veteran in that receiving room, because there's no way that you're going to be able to do that. It's very rare that you get receivers, young receivers that grow together and end up becoming this table. Not every team is like that. The only one that really has worked at this point has been A.J. Brown, but he spent a few years in Tennessee before being traded to the Eagles, and then then Philadelphia went out and got Devontae Smith as well. and then the other modern combo that you think of is the duo of Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison out in Minnesota. And Jefferson was drafted in 2020. Addison was drafted a few years after that, but they've been able to grow together as well. Mm-hmm. You just don't see that often with guys, but, you know, starting at such a young age and then learning how to grow together. What you're going to need is that you are going to need a veteran receiver of some kind in that locker room in order to make sure that everything goes over smoothly. And I don't see that in the Packer locker room. Now, here's the other thing that could point out. Here's the other thing to, you know, pay attention to this. Christian Watson, this is the last year of his rookie deal. This is a make or break year for him. Yes. That's the first thing. The other thing is that you might want to try and consider giving an extension to Tucker Kraft, depending on how he handles his ACL recovery as well.
See how he comes back.
Exactly. And then the other thing to point out, Josh Jacobs is entering the third year. There was talk of him also being released before the season began. My best guess is that this is a make or break year for him offensively, too. Because if you are unable to find holes, now granted, I don't think the offensive line blocking run. Man, you are a popular guy, Keith. Yeah, your phone is blowing up.
Work.
Work. Are you sure that's not like a? Are you sure that's not like a Wayne Larrabee or Larry McCarron?
It could be.
It could be.
I'll talk to him after. Yeah,
okay. I appreciate that. So looking at this deal, I think that this was the best option for Green Bay at this point. Because, again, Watson is a question mark due to his health, and we haven't seen Golden and Williams too much on the field. So I think what Gutekunst wanted to do was at least hammer down one guy for at least the next few years and say, hey, at least we got this person that
got
we can rely on.
Guy you gotta stay.
Exactly. And again, it's very rare that you break a collarbone twice. Let's just put that right out
I
there.
I broke mine twice.
Well, you're not a professional athlete, Keith. Aaron Rodgers broke his twice. Yeah. That was, you know, 5 years apart, though. So, yeah. I mean, it's not like that, you know, it's not like that he went out and broke it the very next year.
Right.
So, if Reed is able to stay healthy, and again, he was healthy for 2 years. He was healthy for 2 years before this year. Proven on a consistent basis that he was healthy. He could very well be a dangerous threat for this Packer roster, for this Packer team.
He could. And it does clear, now that Dobbs is gone, and it clears up that room, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
So these guys might, I don't want to say change their attitude, but they may be just going out there knowing that, hey, they're the number one, number two, number three receivers. I think they'll play better knowing that.
Yes.
You know, rather than am I number five? Am I number six? You know, and they're going out there as decoys and running different things, but not being like expecting that ball every time.
Right.
So I think it'll be good. I'm curious. You know, Watson, we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, he's been so banged up and inconsistent. We just hope we don't have a sophomore slump.
No. That's the one thing that you hope for.
So, I don't know. A lot of questions, but, you know, the Packers are going to know better than any of us.
Yes.
They're seeing him at the practice. They're seeing him at the, you know, the early season workouts. They're seeing what they're doing in the off season. So, maybe they've seen something that they really like, and they said, but a three-year, $50 million deal isn't, that's not a blockbuster deal.
No, it's not. It's I know that at $50 million it's very difficult to say this, but it's a low risk deal.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's a low risk deal with this group, because if it doesn't work out with him, then you could go ahead and cut ties with him. And remember, Reed, this upcoming season was also the final year of his rookie deal as well. Mm-hmm. So now he's now on the hook for four more years. And if it doesn't work out with him this year and or next year, then you could go ahead and move on from him and see if you could go elsewhere. But I think they wanted to just like get a consistent receiver hammered down, because my best guess is that with this deal, if Watson doesn't perform this year, he's not going to be on the team.
No.
He's not going to be on the team.
No.
So now you would be left with Reed, Golden, and Savion Williams on the books for next year. So that means that there's also the potential that they could go after a receiver in the draft next season, if not bringing in a guy this upcoming offseason. There's still a lot of offseason to go. There's still a lot of time. Oh, we've seen crazy things happen in July and August. We saw the Packers trade for Micah Parsons a year before the season began last year. So there's still a lot to be figured out here, but this was a bit of a surprising move, to say the least, but I think it was a necessary move.
And it was interesting. It was right after the draft.
Yes, it was.
So I in the back of my mind, were the Packers looking for maybe a wide receiver that caught their interest in that second, third, maybe fourth round, and they didn't see it? So then they went ahead and signed that contract extension?
I don't know if it's that. I think that it could have been that if Green Bay had that first round pick that they had. Because if Green Bay had that first round pick that they had instead of Dallas, then they could have gone out and taken another receiver.
Right.
In my honest opinion. But you use that to trade for Micah Parsons, which, not complaining by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
But that, again, there's a lot to be figured out here with this offseason. There's still a lot to be figured out here with Jaden Reed. He's probably the most consistent receiver that Green Bay has at this point, and I think Gutekunst wanted to make sure that he got locked down.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about that collarbone break-in. That's one injury that it's not going to affect anything long-term.
No.
Like an ACL or a rotator cuff or something like that could possibly be injured easily.
Yes.
I mean, it was a freak deal. So, you know, maybe the Packers saw something that they really like, and they're like, hey, you got 3 years to be the man without having to worry.
Yes.
You know,
about any competition.
Yeah.
About any competition.
Right.
So how long does it, because you said that you've broken your collarbone twice.
Yeah.
How long did it take for you to recover?
They're usually like 5-6 weeks.
Okay. Okay.
For recovery. But the nice thing, there's no, and it depends on, you could have different types of fractures. But
right.
Typically, you know, for him to come back and play the end of the season, that tells me that that was fully healed. And we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we will see how it goes. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Our final topic of the day. We're going to talk some NCAA basketball. Yes, we are going to be talking NCAA basketball, but for a different reason. That's going to be coming up here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
This is Keith Hansey, broker associate with Northwoods Community Realty. Northwoods Community Realty is a company founded on community-focused values and premier real estate services to buyers and sellers in the entire Northwoods area. Whether you're looking for lake homes or city homes for sale, selling your property, or just want to know what your property is worth, give me a call at 966-1032. I have a deep knowledge of the area and understand our local real estate market. Give me a call, Keith Hansey, for all your real estate needs and questions at 966-1032 with Northwoods Community Realty.
You'll always find one of the largest selections of quality used vehicles every day at the Auto House on North 4th and Tomahawk. And by the way, Randy at the Auto House would like to thank everyone who called and stopped by to make sure he wasn't asleep behind the desk and wish him the best of luck on his new adventure. Randy plans on continuing to do things the right way at the Auto House, and that means offering safe and reliable, previously loved vehicles at prices you're going to like. And as always, there's an ASC-certified shop to keep your vehicle running as it should. And if you need a rental vehicle, you can get one at the Auto House. The Auto House on North 4th and Tomahawk and online at AutoHouseCars.net. That's AutoHouseCars.net. The Auto House, generationally doing business the right way for over 40 years.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook and Keith Hansey back here with you. And after Keith has disposed of his prohibited pet that was in the station, that wood tick that came on in. You got to brought him in. You got to be careful with that,
yeah,
Keith.
Yeah, I didn't have a leash on him or nothing either.
Jeez. I think it's hard to put a leash on a wood tick. I can only imagine. I haven't tried it, but what the heck do I know, right? Well, I mean, so obviously March Madness is officially over. We crown a national champion. You would think that the NCAA is going to be staying out of the news. But
no.
If you were that case, you would be dead wrong. So news broke late last night that the NCAA basketball tournament is expanding. It's going from 68 to 76 teams. The expansion is expected to become official in mid-May, so in a couple of weeks. According to reports, the reason for the expansion that the NCAA gave is to give bids to at-large power conference teams. So a lot more power conference squads will be making the tournament. The men's tournament will include 8 additional at-large bids, 12 games across 24 teams in the first round. One location is expected to be in Dayton, where the original first four site was held. The other one will be west of the Eastern time zone. So look out for Midwestern, Mountain Time, West Coast cities that could potentially host them. All of those games will still be on Tuesday and Wednesday. So Tuesday and Wednesday is going to be treated as an all-day ordeal instead of an at-nine ordeal.
Yeah.
So with this expansion going to 76 teams, Keith, what do you think?
I think it's ridiculous, to be perfectly honest. I mean, when it was 64 teams, how most all the other tournaments are set up, you had to play your way in, and it was the top 64 teams.
Yes.
Conference winners, and then at-large bids.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you added the four teams for the play-in, to go to 68.
Right.
I get it, because there are some conferences that are smaller, don't get the opportunity.
Right.
But they typically are first round. You always hear that Cinderella, there might be a 16 seed that makes it or something.
There have been teams that have made that have started in the first four and made it to the final four. See,
yeah.
UCLA. UCLA a few years ago in 2020 before they lost to Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
So go ahead.
Now expand it even more. To me, it just seems like not a money grab, but probably a money grab. And you're gonna get more teams, obviously, into that tournament that probably wouldn't obviously make it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're gonna see more teams that I don't know. It just seems like it's just getting watered down. Like, why don't you just have like high school playoffs, everybody's in the tournament.
At this point,
yes.
So here's my thing with this. I'm going to go ahead and look at the NCAA, and I am going to look at the other major leagues. Let's take a look at this for a second
here. Okay.
You look at the NFL, the NBA, the MLB. NHL, I'm still a little iffy on, with Gary Bettman, obviously. But the one thing that they do, that all of those commissioners do, is that they listen back to fan feedback. They say, hey, listen, okay, the fans think that we should do this. Okay, let's go ahead and try and implement this rule in and see if this benefits them. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. It happens, right? So they listen to the feedback. Like, a lot of people will say, let's say, for example, the proposed kickoff, the modified kickoff that took place a couple of years ago. there were teams that were okay with it. There were teams that were okay with it. The fans were okay with it. They thought it was a lot more exciting. Then there were ones where they, you know, then they tried to, you know, review pass interference calls a few years ago, and that didn't work. You know, it just mucked it up even more. Right. So it didn't work. You go to the NBA, obviously, the play-in tournament, it was a lot more exciting. The fans said, we love that. We want more of it. You know, there have been a couple of ideas that they had. They just haven't thrown back in the face. You go to MLB, the ABS system has been working wonders, I think, in my estimation, because now, even though they still have the umpires officiate, still the umpires calling balls and strikes, you at least have a little bit of help to make sure that, that call is correct. So all of that is based on fan feedback. The NCAA does not give to you-know-whats about fan feedback.
No.
That is what I can say about that. They said that this isn't a money grab. Stop it.
Yeah.
This is a money grab so you can go ahead and bring in as many big conference teams as you want, because everyone loves the names. Everyone wants to see UCLA or Gonzaga or Florida or Houston in the NCAA tournament, and everybody wants that. I still find it hard to believe that Miami was the last team in the tournament with only one loss on their docket.
Yes.
I don't care who they played. You win every game that is on your schedule, but one, you get in the tournament. Unless it's a very small tournament. And the conference that they're in is not small by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
The Mid-American Conference is a competitive conference.
Yeah.
If you want to say that the competition outside of that particular conference was a little bit weak, that's fine. But you only play on your schedule. So I find that hard to believe, that a team in Miami of Ohio gets only one loss on the season, and they're the last team in the tournament. That does not make sense to me.
No,
that's a whole other issue. So now you're going to go ahead and reward 15 and 16, 16 and 15, 17 and 15 teams to get to the NCAA tournament in the big conferences. That does not work for me. I'm sorry. Now, again, I think the first four is great. I do. Because it gives small schools the opportunity to compete in an NCAA tournament game. It goes on their docket. And you can at least say, hey, listen, we made the tournament. We may not have gotten far, but we at least won the tournament. And the small schools that never won an NCAA tournament game, they can at least claim, hey, guess what?
We got in,
and we won it. Then you look at that. I always thought that the first four should have been for the automatic qualifiers only. That is what my thought process is. 15, 16 seeds, you want to go ahead and duke it out and find a way to get into the tournament to go up against those teams, that's fine. But don't open up the door for the other big programs. That irks me. To no one. Go ahead.
So with going to 74 teams, there's 361 Division I men's basketball teams.
Mm-hmm.
So 20% will be into the tournament.
I don't get it. I really, really don't get it. It's confusing to me. Now, again, here's the thing. If anything, the NCAA tournament should lessen the amount of teams that are in, because it is a certain honor to be in the NCAA tournament. A lot of people were clamoring for Auburn to get in, who was barely above 500. Auburn didn't deserve to get into the tournament. Miami of Ohio did. Stop lying to yourself.
Definitely.
Stop lying to yourselves. So what I would like to tell people is, if you do end up planning, if they end up planning to go through with this, which it sounds like that they are. It's probably a done deal at this point. You're really going to go ahead and spit in our face and say it's raining? I don't understand it.
It's definitely a money grab.
Yeah, it is. And the NCAA doesn't want to say it's a money grab. It's a money grab. Let's be real about this. The NCAA, they don't care about fan feedback. All they care about is money.
Right.
At this point.
I think it is ultimately watering down. Definitely the first two rounds.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
But it's like a 12 seed beating a 5 seed. Doesn't happen very often.
Sorry. Let's not get into that, please. Wisconsin experienced their low point as opposed to high point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you would like that. Let's go ahead and take a look at local sporting events coming up over the next few days now, shall we, as we start to wrap things up. Again, in case you missed it, Tomahawk softball taking on Rhinelander. Matt and I will be in the booth for you. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show 4:35, first pitch at 5 tomorrow. Tomahawk baseball will be at Rhinelander tomorrow. That begins at 5. Keith and I will be at TK Field for Tomahawk baseball against Rhinelander on Friday. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show 4:35, first pitch at 5. And both games will be broadcast on Sports Talk 810-977 WJJQ. Tomahawk Boys and Girls Track and Field will have a meet in Wautoma coming up on Friday. That begins at 4. And Tomahawk Golf has their next Great Northern Conference meet at Northwoods Golf Club in Rhinelander. That gets underway at 3. No hatchet events for the weekend. Then coming up on Monday, Tomahawk softball, they're going to head down I-51 to Wausau East. That'll be their next game. That gets underway at 5 o'clock. Tomahawk Golf will have an invite in Marathon Monday morning. And Tomahawk Baseball, they're going to be welcoming Prentice into TK Field on Monday. That begins at 5. Be sure to stay tuned, by the way, for the broadcast schedule for next week on WJJQ. We'll be sure to keep you updated on that. And then coming up on Tuesday, Tomahawk Golf has their next Great Northern Conference invite. They'll be at Bass Lake Course in Antigo. That begins at 3. Tomahawk Track and Field will have an invite in Lakeland on Tuesday. That begins at 4. And then Tomahawk Baseball. I never thought that I could say this in my lifetime. Tomahawk Baseball is going for the sweep of Mosinee on Tuesday.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Tomahawk Softball will head down to Mosinee. Both those games get underway at 5 o'clock. Keith Hansey, did it feel weird having two people in the studio all show?
No. It felt right, Alex.
It felt right?
It just felt right.
Why do you think it felt right? Why do you think
I miss Jim and Mark.
It's John and Matt.
John and Matt.
John
right.
and Matt. There
Sorry.
You
My
go.
Bad.
There
My
you
bad.
Go. See, John and Matt, I made sure that he said your names right at least once. I did. I made sure of it.
You blew it. You had it all and you blew it.
Next week, be sure to tune in. Vinny Rattino from Brewers TV is going to join us to talk Milwaukee and what he thinks the rest of the season could look like for the squad. Plus, hopefully we will have both Keith and John back in next week.
That will be. I know Matt's off.
You know Matt is, yes, yep. You know Matt is off next week. So be sure to tune in for more fun stuff here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. And in case you're wondering, yes, the return of Mascot Madness will be next week. I let Keith off the hook this week. I'm not letting him off the hook 2 weeks in a row.
All right.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Have a spectacular week. See you all next week.
Listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.